Brother Fields, and good morning, everyone. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. What a wonderful song. I'm going to ask you to turn to the first epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. And we're going to read beginning at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let us ask the Lord's blessings on our coming together, please. Our Father, we give thee thanks that we can come into thy holy presence through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit can worship, praise, and adore thy holy name. We come now at this time, our Father, and we ask thy help, even as we will speak concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, as he is described in thy word. We thank thee for thy word, that we can look into it, we can study it, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand it. Bless our coming together. Open thy word unto us. Reveal thyself to us through thy word, as we give thee thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Not too long ago, we were discussing the mission of the believer, the mission of the Christian church. And we dealt with that, and we looked at the gospel as to what it is when we talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at many, many aspects and many things to help us to understand what the Bible says concerning that. Today we'd like to have a conversation regarding our discernment, or how we are to discern and how we are to look into and understand what we hear and match up what we hear against the Word of God. The verses which we have read in 1 John chapter 4, the first four verses, are very clear. If I don't say anything or I don't explain, it tells us what we need to do. Speaking to Christians, we read, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So, in other words, when we hear something that, and I will use the term, sounds religious, it may not necessarily be that of God. It may not necessarily be what the Word of God says. So, because many spirits have gone into the world, God is asking us, those of us who say we are Christians, to try the spirits. Because there is the Spirit of God, and there is the spirit of the devil. So it is important for us to try them. Because not everything that, well, somebody says, not everything that glitters is gold. And many people are fooled by these things. I think I may have already told you some time ago, many years ago, I was walking on Fordham Road in the Bronx, minding my own business, did not bother anybody, and I'm walking on the street. And I don't remember if there was someone else with me or if I were alone. So I was approaching Jerome Avenue. For those of you who know the Bronx, it's between Jerome Avenue, where the number 4 train runs, and the Grand Concourse. And I'm walking, and this young man came up to me, and he said to me, "Hi, Reverend." And I've never seen this man in my life. "God bless you," he said to me. Well, having lived in New York for so many years, when someone comes up and approaches you like that and mentions God, the next thing that you expect is the person is going to ask you for money. And of course, so I stopped him and I said, "Why do you call me Reverend?" He said, "You never seen me. You do not know me. I'm just walking the street like everybody else. And if you have been on Fordham Road, it is a busy street. Very busy." He says, "I look like one. I look like one." Now, I don't remember if he asked me for money or not, but that was the normal thing. So, I'm saying then that because he used "God bless me, God bless you" to me, that did not make him a Christian. Now, I couldn't spend time and engage into a long discussion, but somehow, in the back of my mind, I think he had asked me for money and I shooed him away or something like that. But because someone says something about God, it does not mean that the person believes in God. It does not believe that the person is a Christian. And I take up these topics because, number one, it is very important. And why is it important? Because God himself is saying that we should test them. But the other part is that so many of us along life's pathway, when we hear things, we're ready to say, that person is a Christian. We're ready to believe what the people say. We're ready to do what they ask us to do. And so many times we get into so many problems because people know how to pray on others. Now, the church that I went to was located in Harlem, in Upper Manhattan, for years. And you will find that people will come in there from time to time, and they will always greet you like they are Christians themselves. And I'm sure you have seen it up here in some occasions. They will come, and they will come as very nice people, because we are a church, we are loving people, we are sympathetic people, we have Jesus in our hearts, we are so glad that Jesus loved us. But at the same time, people think that whenever they come to you, and they come with the camouflage, and then they want everybody to empty their pocketbooks and give it to them because this is the love of God, that's what they put up front as a means of approach. And then we have preachers who preach, and they talk about everything nice except what is in the Word of God, what the people that they are preaching to need to hear. So it tells us here that we should try the Spirit to see if they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. But it did not just leave us like that. It goes on in verse 2 and it says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." And what is the Spirit of God? What does the Spirit of God do? "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Let's break it down a little bit. What does it mean? Well, Jesus Christ is very God. He thought it not a robbery, says the scripture, to be equal with God. He made no reputation for himself, as I'm paraphrasing. He humbled himself. He became a man. He was born in the flesh. He grew up in the sight of everyone. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So if you're talking to someone and they start talking to you about God and you ask them about Jesus Christ, the question is, do they believe that Jesus Christ is God, very God, who came down in the flesh, in the form of a child, was born like everyone else in the flesh, except he was conceived by the Spirit of God. He was born of Mary, but he grew up like everyone else. And why he came? He came to die for our sins. He came to pay the price for our sins. And that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he's coming again. Do they believe that? If they do not believe that, no matter how much they say about God, no matter whatever they say, the Spirit that they are manifesting is not the Spirit of God, thus says the Bible. That's what it means that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But it also tells us not only what the Spirit of God is, but it tells us what the Spirit of God is not. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof he have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And we are encouraged in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it's clear as to how we can know the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit that is not of God. So we are told to try the Spirit. Now, once we get beyond this, and knowing how to discern the Spirit of God and the spirit of the devil, so to speak, once we get beyond that, we also have to keep in mind that there are those who will confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They will confess that. And they believe it. But then they will teach some things that are contrary to what the Word of God says in other areas of the Word of God. So we have to be able to discern, we have to be able to read the Word of God, to understand what the Word of God is saying, to determine whether what they're saying is true or false. You see, the premise upon which we stand, or the foundation upon which we stand as Christians, is that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe that he died, we believe that he was buried, and we believe that he rose again. That sets us in a common denominator with every Christian anywhere in the world if they believe that. But what they practice is something different. So there will be differences in terms of what they practice. Because when the commandment was given to the disciples, go ye into all the worlds, go ye into all the worlds, and preach the gospel. But it went on. See, not only to preach them, but what do? You teach them to observe all the things the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So they're saved, you baptize them. But after that, they must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Word of God. There is a growth process. So we start off with the same common denominator, but then we must grow. And it's the growing part that we have to test as we go along. So even if we pass the test where the Spirit, where we all believe the same thing concerning the birth and the glory, the death and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what about the growing aspect of it? And many times we have to test that. So it requires an examination in testing. It's a standard that we measure up against, and the standard is right here that we will measure up against as we go along a nice pathway. Now, it's not an easy thing, and that's why we must pray, and that's why we must read the scriptures. So let's go to our Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, and we'll read some verses beginning at verse 15. We are told, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, just picture this. If you are out somewhere in the woods or in the wilderness, and you are standing there defenseless, and a sheep approaches you. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. You wait for the sheep. You may even try to pet the sheep. No problem. It's supposed to be harmless. It's supposed to be harmless. But look at this. False prophets, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So in other words, they are not easily discerned. They have a camouflage. They appear to be one thing, but they are something else. And it's not that easy to discern them. Because by the time you get involved with them, thinking they are sheep, maybe they have already halfway destroyed you. Sometimes it's too late. Because we were not aware that we were dealing with a wolf. We were dealing with a sheep, we thought. But when we got so entangled, sometimes it's very difficult to get out. So that's a vivid picture that we have to watch out for. Then in verse 16 it says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So we have the example of the wolf dressed up like a sheep. And then we have here, in terms of Christians, how we shall be able to distinguish them. By their fruits you shall know them. If I say one thing, and I act in a different way, they don't match up, do they? I was told in math that two positives, when you add them together, you still get two positives, isn't it? If you have a positive and a negative, they don't add up. You're going to have to subtract one from another. And the greater one will turn out to be either positive or negative, depending on which is greater, isn't it? So, if you have, and the example is clear. Now, if you have an apple tree, you planted an apple tree, and you have an apple tree. And then when you go to pick apples, it is not apples. It's a pear. Or maybe let's put it, make it a little more illustrative. It's a grapefruit. Are you going to eat it? You planted an apple tree. You expect apples. You go to the apple tree and it's bearing a grapefruit. It is still a fruit, isn't it? An apple is a fruit. Grapefruit is a fruit. Are you going to eat the grapefruit? You can, but I wouldn't. I don't expect any apple tree to be giving me grapefruit. Likewise, I don't expect a grapefruit tree to be giving me apples. I am not eating it. So it is by the fruits. So, you know, the Bible also says, in another scripture, it's not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are simply words. Simply words. So we have to test every spirit. Now, I cannot say to you that an individual is not saved. I cannot say that to you. Only God knows. God knows those who are his. But what I could say to you, I have some doubts. Because based on what I see from the individual, based on the walk of the individual, I have some doubts, but I don't know. They must go together. Now, we do make mistakes. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the mistakes that we make along life's pathway. I'm not talking about that. If we make mistakes, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, it's back in 1 John. If we confess our sins, that He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as human beings, we do make mistakes. But I'm not talking about the mistakes that one will make from time to time. We're talking about the lifestyle. We're talking about a consistent way of walk or behavior of an individual tells something about that individual. By their fruits, you shall know them. So we have to be careful, not just taking what people say, we have to test what they say. Things sound nice. Is it true? Things sound nice. Is it scriptural? How do we know? We test it. And how do we test it? We match it up against the Word of God. It's very important. It's not only important in the job place, it is also important with whether it's young people or older people when it comes to relationships, trying to find a partner in this life. In my short lifespan, I've seen so many Christians make so many mistakes. So many mistakes when it comes to choosing a partner in life. You know, that's why we had read that when we were discussing the gospel. And we talk about some people, should I say, are gifted in words. They are smooth in their talk. And they know how to talk to get what they need. And again, you have wolves in sheep clothing. And sometimes it is just too late to discern. It is too late to discern because we're not careful to begin with. It's too late. So we have to be wise and be ready to test right up front. Let's read on some more in the same chapter 7 of Matthew. Let's read on some more. Verse 21, I quoted already. Well, let's go back and make the connection. Let's go back to verse 15 and read the connection. We'll go right up to 23. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work into iniquity. Very important. Very important. You see all of these good things that they have said to the Lord, that they have done in his name? All of these good things they have done. But yet, God will say to them, I did not know you. Why? Because outwardly, they put on an image that represented something else. They put on an image that represented a Christian, a believer, using the name of God. But everything else that they did inwardly was not of God. And we're going to look at some examples of some people in Scripture to get some better understanding. You know, let me ask you to go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 before we start looking at these examples. Colossians 3 verse 17. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Look at what it says. Whatever ye do in word or deed. So we have two parts here that we have to deal with. We have to deal with what we say, and we have to deal with what we do. Now, my parents never told me this, but I've heard the saying when I was growing up, that some parents will say to children, do as I say, not do as I do. So you know that parents, we've always been taught that the parents are our examples. And children will imitate the parents. But the parents, instead of being good examples, the way they will raise their children is, what I do, you should not do. But what I say, you should do. So the parents will say things to the children that they want the children to behave in a certain way, but what the parents is doing is totally in the opposite direction. That's not how it works with God. Whatever we say and whatever we do should bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not do what I say, but not what I do. They must work together. What I say should be what I do. And what I say should be that which pleases the Lord. And if what I say pleases the Lord, what I do should also please the Lord. It cannot be, well, what I say pleases the Lord and what I do pleases the devil. We have to watch that, and we, again, that is when we say by their fruits you shall know them. That's what the Bible means. Maybe we take a brief look. You know, Brother Rick was speaking in the past in Galatians, and he spent a lot of time in Galatians breaking it down to us and helping us to understand. I just want to refresh your memory on the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And we'll go to verse 22. In verse 19, he tells you about the works of the flesh, and he tells you all the things that those who are not born again, they're not believers, what they do. And in verse 22, it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So in verse 25, beginning in verse 22, it tells us some of the things that the fruit of the Spirit will manifest in us, in what we say and what we do. And when you go down to verse 25, it tells you, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we say the things that represent the fruit of the Spirit, then we should also walk in that way. By their fruits you shall know them, says the Scripture. There's a group of Christians who are counted noble or wise to a higher degree than other Christians. And I'll ask you to go to the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 17. And let's see who they were. Acts 17. Now Paul was preaching. He was going around and he was preaching. And he preached at Thessalonica. He preached at Berea. And he had a lot of problems in Thessalonica. Whenever they went about, they entered the synagogue and they preached. And you know what they preached? They preached that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again and he's coming again. And that's what they preached. And they always had trouble wherever they went. So he preached there in the synagogue. And the Jews, those leaders, stirred up trouble against them. So they left and they went to another city. They went to Berea. And you will read in verse 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, I'm sure that Paul's reputation had preceded him. And I say I'm sure because I know from Scripture, if you were to go back and read certain previous chapters in Acts, you will see that. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the story of Paul, I'll say briefly that Paul was that apostle who did not believe in things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He represented the leaders, the religious leaders of the day that did not want to own that Christ was the Messiah, the one that was coming into this world to die for our sins. And what they used to do was to persecute those who went about talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was among them. And in one scripture back in Acts, one of the chapters, we read that there was a disciple that they stoned to death, and his name was Stephen, for preaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And it will read there that they laid his clothes at the feet of one, and who was there? Saul. Like, Saul was like the ringleader, and he was enjoying what he was doing. He even went to the authorities and asked for letters that he could go into different cities. And that letter gave him the authority that anyone he found preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could take them, bind them, and bring them back to Jerusalem where they can be dealt with. But when God appeared to Saul, and he was converted, in other words, Paul got saved. When he got saved, then he went around preaching. So here he is preaching, and his reputation for doing those evil things in the past, and his preaching preceded him, because as he went into other cities, they were expecting him, and those who knew him and knew of his conversion told others there about him, and that at this point, he was genuine. He was not a sheep in wolf clothing, but now he's coming as a Christian, and indeed, he was a Christian, because God had changed his life and changed his way of doing things. So now he is preaching. But the point that I want to get across here is that when he preached at this particular synagogue in Berea, they did not just accept the word of God from him based on his reputation for preaching the word of God now. They just did not accept it. They received the word with gladness, it says, with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So the things that Paul told them concerning the word of God, they accept them readily, but that was not enough for them. They daily went into the scriptures, and based on what he told them, searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying were actually based on the word of God. And that's what we are expected to do. And thank God, when we deal here in this assembly, that's what we try to get everyone to understand. And that's why we turn to the scriptures when we speak, so everyone can see what we are reading. It's in your Bible, depending on the version that you're using. A few words may be a little different, but at the same time, you could read what we are reading. And when you go home, you could go back to the Bible and read again what we are reading. And then you could look to other passages and match them up to see if what we are saying is in the scriptures or if we're making them up. Now, that's not true of every congregation that meets. We don't just talk from the top of our head. We talk based on the Spirit of God. The Spirit that we're supposed to test, the Spirit of God is within us. You know, the apostles, you know, on the day of Pentecost in Acts, if you go back to the first, second chapter of Acts, you'll read when the Spirit of God came. When Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going into heaven, he had told them, you know, that he's going to go. And of course, you know, they were all worried, and they were trying to keep him here. And he was going to go to Jerusalem, and he would be crucified, and they were trying to prevent him from going. But he said unto them, he says, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Spirit of truth will not come. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reveal to you all things." He will reveal what the Lord Jesus Christ had told them before. He will reveal what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling them then. And he will reveal what the Lord Jesus Christ told them after he's gone. So while the Lord Jesus Christ was no longer present with them in the flesh, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, one of the Godhead, because you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the function of the Spirit of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, then enlightens us concerning the Word of God. So then when we preach concerning the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can preach according to what the Word of God says, and not according to the spirit of the devil. A few other things that you'll have to watch out for. By the way, concerning the Spirit, if you want to read about that, you can read it in St. John's Gospel, chapter 16. It's also in the other Gospels. You can read concerning that. But a few other things that you have to watch out for and to test. Isaiah 14. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So the other thing that we have to watch out for is pride. Pride and arrogance. So, again, there are those who will preach concerning the word of God, and they may rightly divide the word of truth, or maybe not. But something that you have to watch out for is when one exalts himself, when one exalts herself. You have to watch out for this. Again, by their fruits you shall know them. And what you saw here is Satan, the father of lies, exalting himself, wants to be like the Most High. In other words, he wants to have the same glory that God has. And that cannot happen. So what happened? Because now he's puffed up with pride, what happens? He's thrown out. So pride, the Bible says, goes before a fall. So we have to watch out for those things. And those things do happen. There are good folks, those who are saved and doing well and preaching the word of God. And then sometimes when we respond to them and we tell them how much we appreciate, then all of a sudden it goes up to the head. It goes up to the head. And then when it goes up to the head, they start doing things on their own, except by doing it by the Spirit of God. And next thing you know, they're falling. They're falling. So we have to watch that, and we have to encourage others, because if it happened with Satan, the father of lies, it can happen with anyone else. Lucifer, the son of the morning. He was up in heaven, and he was doing well, and everything was going fine. But then he wanted to start a rebellion against God up there, and he was cast out of heaven. Pride goeth before a fall. Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. I read it quickly for you. It says here, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, says the Lord. I'll go to Proverbs chapter 16 and I'll read verse 18 for you. 16 and verse 18. And we are told here in verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. We go to chapter 29 of the same book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 23. And we are told here in verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So before honor is humility, and before a fall is pride. There are more scriptures that we could look at, but I want to move on to a few other things. I see my time is gone, but I want to point out a couple of things for you. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Acts 12. Acts 12. Verse 21. Verse 21, and upon a set day Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Here is the problem. Here's the problem. Herod in all his glory, the people respected him. they had this big activity, call it a parade or whatever way you may want to describe it, and all the people, he's sitting on his throne, he's before the people, he's arrayed in his royal apparel, and he made a big speech, an oration unto them, made a big speech, he excited them, and the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. And what happens then? He didn't stop them. See, it is not who gives the glory. It is not who gives the honor. But it's what the person does who is receiving it. If he had stopped them and he said, no, I'm a man, I'm not God, I'm a man, stop it. That would not have happened. But they gave it to him. And what happens then? And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he, Herod, gave not God the glory. It's not the people. They don't know better. But he should have known better. He, Herod, gave not God the glory. He accepted the glory that should be of God. And as a result, he was cut off at the same time. Keep your... I must take you to this one in Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Because it goes well with what we've just read. Isaiah 48 and verse 11. Isaiah 48:11, it says, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Herod was taking the glory of God. God would not share his glory, neither would he give it to anyone. So it's a big price that individuals will pay when they accept glory unto themselves, which should be given unto God. Verse 12 says, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Now, I'll mention a couple of things. I wouldn't ask you to turn to it, and you could look it up as part of your homework. Be like the Berean believers. You'll search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Acts 10, if you look at verse 25 to 28, again, you don't have to look, you will see that Peter had gone down to a Gentile because he was asked to go down to speak to this Gentile. And when he got there, the Gentile bowed before him, kneeling before him, and said, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm a man like you. Do not do it. I'm a man like you. So he did not want that Gentile man to give him any glory that he should be giving to God. So he stopped him right there. You'll also go to, when you get a chance, look at Acts 3, verses 1 through 6. There was a lame man who sat outside of the gate in the, as they were going up, Peter and John were going up to pray at the temple. And he asked of them, he was lame there, and he asked of them to receive an alms, to, you know, some money. And they told him that they don't have money, but they will give him what they have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up, take your bed and walk. Now, later on, they were accusing them of doing that. And they did not take the glory for themselves. They said, it is God who did it. He said, in the name of the Lord. It is not in their name. They did not take the glory. Now, think about others. If they're able to do these things and cause people to walk, they'll go around thinking that they're bigger than everybody else. And then they start charging people also. Somebody attempted to do that, and that person got into serious trouble. His name is Bar-Jesus in Acts 13, verses 6 through 12. When he saw that the apostles were able to lay their hand on people and to heal them, he asked to get the gift. But not only did he ask for that gift, because before he was fooling people, he was performing sorceries and he was fooling people and they thought he was somebody great. So now he saw them doing greater things, he offered them money. He was bribing them. And as a result, they said to him, you're going to be blind because you thought that you could gain the gift of God with money. And he was blind. So, you just have to test the spirit and see if it is of God or if it is of the devil. And as a result of that, you can make decisions. There are many more things that you could look at. You go into Revelation, you will see that man was bowing before an angel and he said, get up! Don't worship me, worship God! So, you have to look at these things as we go along in life, And we watch people and we watch what they do, especially when it comes to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to watch what they do and make some determination as to whether the spirit is the spirit of God, or you hear preachers speak, is it the spirit of God, or is it the spirit of the devil? What is it? In every walk of life, let's be ready to test the spirit, because it will save us a lot of problems as we go along in life's pathway. So God will bless his word. We'll end at this point because our time is gone. And ask God to bless his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we give thee thanks for thy word. Thou hast told us to test the spirit, to see if it is of God or if it is of the devil. For many false prophets have gone out into this world. Help us then to be like the believers at Berea. Help us then to search the scriptures daily to see if the things that we hear are of God or are of the devil. Help us then to search the scriptures too, that we may grow thereby to be instruments of thine in this darkened world. Again, we thank thee for everyone here. We ask thy blessings upon them. We ask that thou wilt dismiss us with thy blessings resting upon us as we give thee thanks. Through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Amen.